Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant.
And that's not the.
It doesn't feel like it's right. No.
And if you threw a party.
Yeah, now we're talking.
And invited everyone you knew. No. You would see the biggest gift would be for me. And the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend.
Are you recording?
That's beautiful.
When should we come in?
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates within Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Oh, Grey, hot.
Hello and welcome to the Incomplete series, your incomplete guide to every television show you've never watched. This is the podcast where we watch the first episode of a television series and then the very last episode of a television series and then just try and figure out what happened in the middle. My name's Morgan and joining me to do this is Mr. Jeremy Wiseman. Jerome, how are you?
Well, Morgan, I'm happy that you introduced yourself first. Sometimes you miss that.
Yeah, I know. But I really overthought this one because if we had to do this intro for the second time.
Don't lie to the listeners. This is our 76th take.
Yeah, and that was the best one. It wasn't very good still.
We've been here since noon.
I know. Sorry.
It's 3 a.m. Come on.
Thanks, Jez. Thanks for reminding me. Aaron, how are you?
I'm well. I'm overflowing with Christmas spirit.
Yeah, it's a good time of year.
Season's greetings.
Yeah. It is a great time of year to be
Yule
podcasting.
Time. Mm. What does that mean?
Yuletide?
Yuletide?
I think it's Yuletide.
I think it's roll tide.
Low tide?
Low tide.
Yeah. Low tide?
Buy low, sell high.
Yeah.
That's how the ocean works.
Cool. And
they've really nailed it recently with the water levels rising.
Oh,
it's
gone
through the roof.
I got in a good time.
Yeah.
And lastly, Scott, how are you?
I'm really well. How are you, Morgan?
I'm okay.
You good?
I'm okay. I mean, after 77 takes, I'm pretty worn out.
Yeah.
So I feel it in my bones.
You look wrecked.
And it is definitely that Australian summer where I am sweating already.
You're visibly sweating.
I know. It's because I'm drinking hot tea. Someone closed the door. I'm not feeling good about this.
You look like you've aged about 60 years.
It's the podcast sauna.
Yeah. You know that we podcast in the sauna.
The sweater.
Well, that'd be a fun one. I'm pretty sure that would break all of the equipment.
Maybe.
But you could waterproof it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could do it.
You could put a plastic bag over it.
Yeah.
Over the mic.
Great sound.
Waterproof it. Take it out to sea in that low tide. Well, anyway, how are we feeling? We're feeling Christmassy. We picked a Christmas themed show to go with. This time last year, we did Happy Days, which I think was actually a loser. I believe it's one of our lowest listened to episodes. But let's not dwell.
Don't reveal that sort of stuff to the listeners. They don't know.
They should know our ratings.
So I like that episode.
For the listeners out there, do not listen to Happy Days. It is a train wreck.
It's real coincidentally, it was one of our most high performing social media releases. So it's interesting that it like. Performed well when we released it on in social media and then people just didn't follow through.
So it's like the more people are aware of the episodes, the more they avoid it.
The word got out that it was terrible.
Yeah.
Morgs was really...
Yeah, I really wanted to
really
shoot
out. Really, really wanted campaigning against it.
I really wanted to torpedo that project. It was, you know, it's like I feel like I was one
His
of the...
2017 local government campaign was built on a platform of...
torpedoing
boycotting
projects.
Happy Days episodes.
Just because we were sandbagging Travolta the whole time.
Yeah, pretty much. Really? It was in that real, it was like peak Travolta. You guys are shitting on Travolta and I'm really defending him. But now it's sort of died off because I don't really care anymore.
It's that time of year though.
It is. It's
Travolta time.
Yeah, it's everyone's watching Grease and Face Off.
Two classic Christmas movies.
Mm. Mm. Anyway, we should probably talk about the show we did for the Christmas special, The Golden Girls.
Thank you.
I was particularly excited about this one.
Me too.
Is it The Golden Girls or just Golden Girls?
It's the Golden Girls.
The Golden Girls.
Okay.
Yeah, The Golden Girls.
Mm. So like last year, we watched the first Christmas episode and the last Christmas episode. A bit of a change of pace for us.
Mm.
Season 2, episode 11 and season 5, episode 12.
It went for 7 seasons, right?
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. So we got a 3-season gap.
It's not huge. That means they weren't hitting it. They weren't doing Christmas specials every single year.
No,
they obviously had bigger fish to fry.
Also meant that there was time to establish the characters, etc. before we jumped in.
It is nice not watching a pilot or a finale.
They actually sort of like hit their straps by mid second season. So we watched peak Golden Girls.
We did. We're very lucky.
The Golden Age.
The Golden Age of Golden Girls.
Golden Age of Betty White's career.
Mm.
She was in excellent form.
No, you're not a fan of Hot in Cleveland?
I've never watched it, to be honest. Okay. It didn't really appeal to me.
Neither have I, but I assume it's garbage.
She did other stuff, right?
She did Snickers commercials or something.
She did do Snickers commercials.
It was just a caricature of herself, really.
That was probably my
That's the highlight of her career.
Yeah. That's the crown. The crown jewel.
And you're in a Snickers commercial.
Yeah.
You should tell it to Joe Pesci.
That's my my favorite.
Well, Mr. T.
Article from the
Mr. T's
all famously in Snickers commercials.
But okay, look, may as well start off how we always start off with this. Jeremy, what did you know about the Golden Girls going in?
I knew it was a sitcom about a bunch of old ladies, and I was not wrong. I had that validated when I watched it.
Did that feel good?
Felt really good.
Nice.
I'm not often right.
It's nice to know your preconceptions can sometimes be right.
Yeah. That's about it. I knew Betty White was in it. I didn't know who any of the other women were. Unfortunately, I think they've all passed away now.
They are. Betty White is the only one left.
And I don't know that they were known for much else. I mean, they might have. These women were born in the 20s, so they probably peaked in the 50s.
Yeah, it's probably a fair assessment. Mm. I do know that the lead, Beatrice Arthur, or Bay Arthur, she was... I can tell you, I was reading some of the trivia notes, and they said during the casting of her, they were looking for a Bay Arthur-esque type of person to play that character. And they ended up just casting... So that was the casting note, but they ended up just casting her anyway. They didn't go out looking for her. They wanted someone like her.
Ah, okay.
And they ended up just
getting
casting her.
So it's like if
someone was like, guys, why don't we just cut out the middleman here?
Exactly. I really don't think she's probably got that much work on.
Yeah.
So it's like if you were going to cast a John Travolta-esque actor, you would cast
John Travolta.
You would cast John Travolta.
Yeah, exactly.
Aaron, did you know much about the Golden Girls going in?
I did not. I knew it was one of Summer from the OC's favourite shows. That was my main exposure.
Really?
Yeah.
The Golden Girls?
Yeah, that and The Valley.
As in the actress that played Summer?
No, the character.
Character.
So, yes.
Summer.
Is Rachel Bilson?
Yes.
Rachel Bilson, okay.
Quite possibly.
Okay. We've watched the show. I don't know why I'm so confused about this.
I think she improvised all her lines. It wasn't meant to be Golden Girls in there, but she just wanted to crowbar it in.
Okay, so it's fair to say that...
Rachel Bilson improvised all her lines in the OC.
All her lines.
Wow.
Yeah, she based her character off...
As an extra.
I underrated her performance. If I hadn't known that when watching it.
Yeah.
She based her character off Betty White's character in the Golden Girls as well.
Really? You can see the resemblance.
Absolutely. 16-year-old girl, 60-year-old woman. The parallels are definitely there. Scott, what did you know going in?
Very little. I knew they won a bunch of Emmys. The show it was very popular.
Yeah.
Jez, you're saying most of these women probably peaked in the 50s. I reckon they peaked.
Second peak. You can peak multiple times.
Okay. All right.
Have you peaked?
That dual peak.
I haven't even begun to peak.
Okay, I'm sorry I had to set you up for that one. But look, we may as well jump into episode one then.
We're introduced to the Golden Girls during Christmas of 1986. The four seniors live together in Miami. There's Dorothy, the hard-nosed New Yorker.
Christmas in New York. A light snow falling over Fifth Avenue. Ice skaters at Rockefeller Center.
Blanche, the saucy Southern belle.
There's something about a man in a Santa Claus suit that just drives me absolutely crazy.
Rose, the small-town simpleton.
One Christmas, we tried to launch a production of A Christmas Carol with an all-chicken cast.
And Sophia, the quintessential Sicilian grandma.
Dorothy, you call yourself an Italian? You can't tell the difference between a toy and a real piece?
The ladies are about to head off around the country to see their families for Christmas as Rose has her last shift as a counsellor at the crisis centre. The other ladies come to pick her up on the way to the airport, and while they're in the waiting room, Dorothy is cornered by a pyromaniac and Blanche is conned by a compulsive liar.
Blanche, did you give Mr. Meyer money?
Yes, he's a starving artist.
This man is the owner of the most successful wide-size shoe store in the city. He's a pathological liar.
I am not.
Just as they're about to leave, a lonely, gun-wielding Santa breaks into the office and holds them all hostage.
What's this all about?
Well, I came here because I wanted to share an old-fashioned Christmas with some other people.
At gunpoint?
Would you stay here and spend Christmas with me if I just asked you?
Sophia then storms in angrily because she'd been waiting in the car and quickly realizes that Santa's gun is just a toy. Rose pops some quick counseling on Santa and the compulsive liar, and the women all bounce to the airport. But unfortunately, their flights have been cancelled due to a snowstorm. Christmas is ruined, and they all have to settle for a diner in Miami. Even though they're all bummed out, they realize that they should be grateful because they get to spend time with each other.
We were feeling so sorry for ourselves. We forgot we are celebrating Christmas with family.
And now, because they're feeling so generous, they offer to look after the diner so the kindly owner can go home and spend the night with his family.
If you trust us, we'd be happy to watch the place while you're gone. Can you cook?
Are you black?
And it's a Merry Christmas all round for the Golden Girls.
First things first, even if the gun is not real, that is still a major felony.
Yeah.
Mm.
You're looking at a hard time.
He's going away.
He's going away for a real long time.
You're looking at grief counselling.
Yeah.
That's also probably the most pleasant crisis centre I've ever seen in my life.
I have a few bones to pick. Can we jump straight into the crisis centre?
Let's go straight to the crisis
centre. Why are all of the people who are waiting, sitting in and listening to the other people... get therapy.
No confidentiality whatsoever. No.
And why is the richest setup? The richest owner of a wide shoe?
Wide shoe?
What the hell is that? Why is he there? The
opposite of thin shoes.
Oh, of course.
Why does he just pay for a regular therapist?
Yeah. If he's
or
that
a good therapist.
If he's that wealthy.
Mm.
He's a starving artist.
Okay.
Apparently.
Some of the time.
Yeah. But given what we saw from Rose from the rest of the episodes, she does not look fit to be a counsellor.
Not even remotely.
I don't think she's all there.
She can barely even think.
I thought she was just the secretary of the
when she was when she was talking to one guy, she was like, no, you can tell me your problems. I'm a counsellor.
Yeah. And then maybe that's just to establish what just to establish what kind of counselling he needs.
Mm.
She's the person that you come to in preliminary way.
Triage.
Pre-counselling.
Yeah. Yeah. Either way, shouldn't really have that have that position.
Should have retired a while ago, I think.
Mm.
Would have fit with the premise of the show.
I reckon good on that. Staying in the workforce.
Varying ages amongst the Golden Girls.
So what are the ages?
Now, I know that obviously Sophia is meant to be the oldest, because that's the mother
of
Dorothy. But she's actually the youngest.
She's the mother.
Yeah. No, she's not the youngest.
She was the second youngest?
She was the same age as her daughter.
Yeah.
Mm. So what, do you know what the ages are?
3 months different.
Bay Arthur. They were both born
in
the same.
Is it Bay Arthur or is B?
B.
Is it Bay or B? Maybe it's B.
Beatrix?
B.
Beatrix, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway. They were born in the same year, I'm pretty sure.
But in the characters.
Mother and daughter.
So Estelle Getty, who played Sophia, the mother, she same age. They had to age her up. They put the white hair on and they aged her up.
It was 2 hours at the start of every recording.
I've got a great...
someone older.
Yeah, no, I've got a great little note about that later on. Don't worry about that.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
I think, is it the note that I've got? Do we need to save it till later?
Why do we need to save it? We can roll it out now.
Is it that she got a facelift between seasons?
Yeah, it's a part of that.
And made the makeup process harder?
Yeah. No, it's connected. I just looked at... this is to do with just a trivia note. This is completely unrelated to the actual first... well, it's not unrelated because it's all connected. But looking through the trivia and all the notes about that show... it's just all the things that came up, all the problems they have. It's just all problems that would occur if you had four old women in a show. The woman that played Blanche was notorious for just falling asleep in random places. Just shit like that. It was just very entertaining to read.
So the woman that played Sophia had a facelift and made her look even younger than her daughter in the show.
Yeah.
Which made the process...
just younger in general.
Yeah.
She had a facelift to make her look older.
Yeah.
Face down?
Face drop.
Yeah, face drop.
She should have committed to the role.
Exactly.
Is this John Travolta's next film?
Face drop.
Face drop.
I want to drop your face.
Your face.
I do want to point out this the first probably 20 minutes of this episode is just about Blanche's just out of control sex drive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So she brings home a Santa to bang while the others are out.
My roommates are still out shopping, so we have the place to ourselves. Now it's time to find out who's naughty or nice.
On his lunch break of all times to do it.
And it sounds like they know him and his wife.
Yeah, exactly. And just all Dorothy's doing, Beatrice Arthur's character, is just throwing shade at everyone the whole episode.
Blanche, I could get herpes listening to this story.
Jeez.
Oh, good. It's brutal. I'm going to use that one. I'm definitely going to use it.
She was the best. Yeah.
Apparently in real life as well, absolute bitch as well.
Really?
Yeah, they all stayed good friends except her. Everyone openly said that she was just really hard to get along with.
They're all dead now, so.
Was that jokes on her? Or what? What's that supposed to mean?
I mean, they can't be friends.
Okay, fair. Well, see, not now.
Betty White can.
It's Betty White against the world.
Yeah.
There was a rumour that Dorothy did call Betty White a C-bomb.
Yeah, I did read that. Yeah.
Which is pretty filthy.
In the 80s, amongst all the women. Now...
Mm.
Yeah, a 70-year-old woman in the Golden Girls, you never would have picked that.
Oh. Yeah.
But it's pretty ugly back of stage. People falling asleep.
Wild.
Getting face drops.
Face drops.
Wishbones?
Yeah, bit of that
maybe.
As well.
Yeah. Who knows?
Just a touch.
But yeah, this
some light wishboning.
I mean, this whole. I mean, to be fair, both episodes. It's just Blanche just talking about all the dudes she's had sex with in the last like 50, 60 making, years.
She makes a calendar of like all the guys she's had sex with. So that's everybody.
Yeah. Is it just a calendar of dick pics?
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
What about 80s? Yeah. Yeah, 80s dick pics.
Dick Polaroids.
Dick
Polaroids.
Dick
yeah.
Yeah. Dick Polaroids. I love when they're flicking the calendars. Oh, my.
So their plane got grounded by a snowstorm. I don't think it snows that much in Miami.
I don't think it's
that was saying, though.
That makes it all the more significant that it happened.
I guess so.
I don't think it's ever snowed in Miami.
No, I think there was some snow back in 77. That was the last time it snowed in southern Florida.
Well, maybe when they...
2 inches about 200 miles north of Miami.
When they made the show, it made sense at the time. Because they were like, oh, it's only been like 8 years since it snowed in Miami.
Global warming was coming again. Global warming was a mere pipe dream. They thought the next ice age was more likely. In the 80s. They're actually planning for it. That's why global warming started. We've got to get this bad boy up, otherwise.
Right. Preemptively. We're
going to have continental drift on our hands.
The Golden Girls just ahead of their time.
It's working in this room.
Yeah. It is. It is.
Steamy.
Everybody's sweating except Jez. Jez isn't sweating.
Cool as a cucumber. Coincidentally, I'm the most clothed.
Yeah. Best of both worlds. God damn it.
Was it just like just absorbing all the sweat in that nice polo you're wearing?
Yeah,
interesting.
Don't reveal my outfit to the listeners.
Okay, I apologize. I'm wearing arseless chaps myself.
So, I might be confusing two episodes, but was this the one where they were fighting consumerism?
Yes.
And they made their own presents?
Yeah, yes. Dorothy was upset because, they were selling Christmas too hard, which I'm a proponent of Christmas presents.
And Blanche was annoyed that...
It's fun.
Rose was going to be her gift giver. No.
That was the other one. We'll get to that one. Yeah, but I think Dorothy was mostly annoyed just because everyone else used her credit cards to buy each other presents.
I would be annoyed about that.
Yeah. I was wondering how
she's like, no, we don't need this.
Are they in a retirement village?
Yeah, I don't know.
Are they like, is it a share house?
Yeah,
do they
all live in the same?
Yeah, because they're all like admiring the tree and they're like, oh, off to bed. And they all just
put their pajamas on.
Personally, I kind of saw it as Del Boca Vista.
Me too.
The sitcom, essentially what it was.
What's Del Boca Vista?
It's the retirement community Jerry Seinfeld's parents live in.
Oh, right, okay.
I have something to add a bit more credence to this theory.
Yeah.
I did notice in the final episode there was a woman who looked extraordinarily like George's mum.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, yeah, just hanging in the background of the church kitchen.
That is unbelievably... How did you find that? How many times did you watch the episode?
Zoom enhance.
16. As many times as we've had takes for this podcast.
Mm. That's a lot of time wasted.
76?
76.
76 times.
So George's mum's there. And so they're all living in Del Boca Vista.
So the time frame is the time that George's parents moved to Miami.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense.
They connect.
Okay, there is connection.
Yeah, Aaron's got a whole pinboard full of theories.
This goes all the way to the top, doesn't it?
It goes all the way to the top.
Belisario, Travolta, they're all in.
Do you want to hear his spiel? Bust out your tinfoil hat because this is it's a doozy.
Can we talk about the diner scene?
Yes, please.
And how? Sure. And I just want to point out that because we've watched a lot of sitcoms from the 90s. Probably it was really just the 90s. And they don't age well. And I think that diner scene really lends itself to how much they don't age well.
It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad. It
you
also
just wouldn't see it.
No.
Just the casual racism is rampant.
She's an old Italian lady.
Yeah, true.
Time's passed her by.
But like it was, but it's a joke with canned laughter, whereas that just kind of wouldn't fly now.
No.
And it's not very necessary either.
No.
I don't know. I thought of it as like a minority joke of like, because he was saying, can you cook? Which she was like, of course, because it's like of course, women can cook sort of thing.
And yeah, okay. So like, it's a double burn.
But no, like a joke that he was also in on.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Kind of.
I don't know.
We were laughing at him.
Yeah. I would say...
Were we laughing at all? I'm not sure.
I was doubled over. Okay. It took me about 3 minutes to compose myself after that zinger.
Mm. So Sophia also really laid into that Hare Krishna dude.
Oh, yeah.
I really let him have it.
Excuse me. Would you like to buy a flower?
Beat it, Frodo! And while you're at it, get a job, get a suit, and get on your knees and beg your mother's forgiveness.
Different times.
Yeah. It must have been a thing that happened in... that doesn't happen anymore, Hare Krishna's at the airport. Because that turns up in a couple of different things.
It happens in like, The Simpsons as well.
And it happens in Flying High as well. Yeah. There's a joke about Hare Krishna's at the airport.
Do they just go to high traffic areas maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
A lot of people to harass and sing at.
Mm. I guess, yeah.
And give not free food too. Sorry to my our Hare Krishna friends. Not saying that you harass people. But
should have got them to look after the
stay
diner.
Out of the airport.
Yeah.
Nail
it. Reliable. Honest people.
Exactly.
They don't own anything. So
not like those Italians. Anything.
Do they own
stuff? So they have no investment in you making a profit.
That's true. They'll just give stuff away for free. They don't understand the concept of basic trade.
We're
making a lot of assumptions,
What about donations, though? They like donations.
They love donations.
Mm. So essentially them like giving you something, if you now that you've got that, hey, it's a donation, which really is a transaction.
It is a trade.
Yeah.
Maybe they do understand trade.
Someone tried to Hare Krishna me.
You don't understand trade.
Economics? I don't understand trade.
No. Well, I'm glad you're here.
Of,
so we can,
the concept of
we can
currency
clear, we can clear this up
blows
the
my
girls.
Mind.
Yeah, okay.
So what do I do with it? Where do I put it?
Well, no, just watch all the Golden Girls and you'll be out. It basically explains it in seven seasons.
Economics 101.
Yeah.
Pretty much. It's a small business course for seven seasons.
Back when I was a uni, I did.
That could, I reckon, that could be
a, like Harvard. They give you a box set of the Golden Girl. Like,
that could be a TAFE course.
Pre-summer reading.
Like,
economics with the Golden Girls?
Yeah, economics... learned through Golden Girls.
This is already better than my reboot.
Yeah. Really? It's not too late to change it.
Yeah. It is. It's very late.
It's very late?
Yeah.
Oh, we can do another take. Right. It's fine.
As we said.
What's a 78 take, really?
In for a penny, in for a pound.
Exactly.
I like the even though this is, I mean, spoiler alert, we've got the magic of editing so we can cut bits out. But in this universe... we've got to run through a whole take. If we stuff up one thing now, we're going to go from the start.
That's how it works.
Roll it back.
Exactly. Mm.
Is it time for episode 2?
Let's do it.
'Twas the night before Christmas begins with our golden girls mostly complaining about the holidays. Rose, however, is in the Christmas spirit. And to save the hassle of buying everybody presents, they set up a Kris Kringle and pull all their names out of a hat. After exchanging presents, the girls decide to join Rose in volunteering at the homeless shelter. Although Sophia is less than happy about the situation.
Ma, are you coming?
But I rented Scarface!
Dorothy runs into her ex-husband Stanley, who despite his privileged position, is complaining to other people in the shelter about his misfortunes. After Dorothy gives him what for, he comes to his senses, and dressed as Santa Claus, gives presents to all the homeless children. The girls wrap it up with a heart-to-heart expressing their true feelings about Christmas, and each other.
It's more than a place to go, it's having someone there for you. We have each other. There's always someone there.
That's right.
That's right, darling.
Their Kris Kringle setup makes no sense.
Not
at all. Logistically.
They're complaining about they don't want to go to the shops because it's going to be too busy.
Mm.
But so to make up for that, they just draw one name out of the hat, so they only have to buy one present. You still have to go to the shops. Like,
yeah.
The effort is still there.
Yeah.
Just because you have to buy one present instead of three, it doesn't really help.
You can pick up another two real quick.
Exactly.
That's the least of the problems here.
The first of the problems.
Yeah, actually, to be fair, this isn't the worst show we've done.
No,
it's fairly sound. You can't really fuck it up. It's just it's a sitcom.
Because that whole it seems like that's going to be the problem of the episode is them buying presents for each other, and then it's all wrapped up like 12 minutes in.
Yeah, yeah.
I see what you did there.
Well, I didn't. But now I do. Yeah. It was a rapping joke.
Yeah, it was a rapping joke. Christmas. Happy Yule season.
How many more of those do you have?
At least six. Oh, okay. You'll hear them as the
episode goes on.
Hello.
He's on a heater. He's firing from the hip now.
What was I saying, though?
I think you need to snow down.
Hey, come on, Jez. That's enough.
I'll sit next to you out.
Yeah. Come on, Jez. Reindeer it in. This is the rest of the episode.
You're like on these Christmas puns.
Yeah. No, I was saying something though, and I've forgotten what it was.
So they wrapped up the first story about halfway through,
and then it was like about the homeless shelter.
Yeah,
it's really weird. It's I'm not complaining, but it was just
don't see it very often.
Could have been a two-party thing.
Oh, definitely.
They underdid themselves.
They could have pushed movie it length. Out.
My personal theory behind that, that the reason they decided, you know, that they stopped, oh, well, halfway through we're going to move to this new story angle, is I think they've secured the services of, I believe the actor's name is Matthew McNichol, which is also Lloyd Braun from Seinfeld.
Lloyd Braun.
And you don't just, you secure those services,
you drop
Act 2 and 3, you get Lloyd Braun in. And that's exactly what they've done.
Well, that's why they should have made it a movie.
Well, that's it was the golden opportunity.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh. Is this pre-Lloyd? Would he have been Lloyd?
Well, this is my theory related. We should explain Lloyd Braun, his character from Seinfeld in the Serenity Now episode.
Mm.
So that was when he had a mental breakdown.
Yes.
So I think he started off as a reverend in Miami.
Yeah.
Then had a mental breakdown and moved to New York.
Yeah. And then had another mental breakdown.
He ties in, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because they are part of the same extended universe as we established.
Yeah, the timeline does correctly, because I believe this started in 88 and finished in 94, and Lloyd Braun's episodes would have been like 96, 97. Yeah. So it all works out.
Story checks out, yeah.
So he left.
I do love Lloyd Braun.
I do. He left the commune to become like to run like, yeah, to join state government.
Commune?
The clergy. Left the clergy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So in the first episode discussion, we were talking about how much was it Dorothy hates Rose or everyone?
Everyone.
I think everyone. Everyone hates Rose.
I feel like in this episode,
mostly
it was Blanche hating on Rose.
Yeah.
There was one sick burn where Rose said,
"You know, I've been thinking. Oh, that would explain the beads of sweat."
Ooh, that is.
That's so really harsh.
So they, like, she really, yeah. like, yeah. Rose she's really like, is the bud. Like, she's got the bud.
Mm.
The bud role.
Mm.
But she does nice things.
Blanche, as I said before, sleep with her, man.
Jokes on them because all the others are dead.
Yeah. And so she's Rose, the youngest. Rose. Betty White's the youngest of all the actresses
That's
in
crazy,
the Golden Girls.
Because she's real old now. Time's weird.
95.
You think do you think she assassinated the other ones? Is that what you're saying, Jess?
It's part of Aaron's theory. Like I said, I don't want to spoil it. Yeah. We're going to do a separate podcast. But Scott, like we said, this goes all the way to the top.
All right.
We're going to be releasing a side podcast, the TIS, like Serial.
There was a 12-part series. Yeah.
How Betty?
All I'm going to say as a teaser is there was a third shooter, and it was Rose. It was Betty White.
Betty White killed.
So Betty White was the last one.
Don't say it too loud, though.
No, of course not. She'll be after us.
She'll come for you
She's
next.
She's in a lot of media, so she could find this and find
Apparently
us.
Apparently, she chokes her victims to death with Snickers.
That's awful.
Yeah.
That's awful.
And she just keeps repeating, "You're not you when you're hungry," as she sucks more and more fun-sized Snickers down your already full esophagus. Mm.
It's a part of her contract.
Yeah.
She is crazy.
Yeah.
This episode, it was, like you were saying before, with Blanche throwing a little bit more shade at Rose. This episode was a little bit... The girls were a little bit harsher with each other.
Yeah.
Mm. And I think that's what five seasons together will do to you. Because it was well documented that, B. Arthur did not much care for Betty White. Mm. But and you could tell with this... If there's one thing that's more prominent than their shoulder pads, it's definitely the dislike for each other.
Very sharp.
It is shoulder pad city in that show.
That's what they should have called it.
Shoulder pad city.
Also known as Miami.
That is the spin-off, shoulder pad city.
Shoulder pad city.
I watched that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You want to record the theme song?
I would recommend that over Golden Girls.
Thank you for being
You can
a
find
friend.
Any season 1-3 of shoulder pad city. Television gold.
Rose just dropping like a bestiality reference. I was not expecting.
What?
I didn't catch
that.
She was
talking about her like.
Did we watch the same show?
Extended version?
Yeah.
You did mention that when you tried to find these these episodes, some unsavory things came up on the internet.
Well, you don't just type in Golden Girls and. Yeah.
Expect Golden Girls?
Things happen.
How much porn did you run into when trying to track these down?
All of it? A medium amount. Which is all of it. As we know, the internet has
By
a medium
standards.
Amount of porn.
It's only a medium amount.
Only a medium amount now.
Yeah. Mm. But she was talking about like her country town that she grew up in and all the they'd get a little drunk and then like the farm animals.
Oh, and then
you
invite the animals inside.
Invite the animals in and then
And then, in keeping with the spirit of Christmas, it was traditional to let all the animals sleep inside that night. And then the next morning, the rumors would start.
Yeah.
But then, the same time next year, someone would get a little too drunk and
it's like the
do it all again.
Mm.
Yeah, one
night a year.
Small town Minnesota, one day a year.
Yeah.
Bestiality is okay.
The animals get to do
police
what they
look
want.
The other way.
Yeah.
Oh. The animals get to
their merge.
Okay.
You really flipped this upside down.
Is this your reboot?
Yeah. I want to talk about Stanley. That guy's a real sack of shit.
He's a real dirtbag.
Yeah.
One, he's a terrible businessman.
He's like trying like pitch them a pyramid scheme at the start.
Yeah, he seems like he's been rich and poor about 1,000 times.
He didn't even pitch him like a scheme. He was just like, give me your money.
That's yeah, true. Yeah. So he's just like scamming and riding the wild ups and downs of his business investments.
He's
terrible.
He's definitely been on a current affair like a dozen times. Yeah.
He's still trying to rip off pensioners.
And he's definitely changed his name.
Even
like
though
four times.
He is a pensioner.
Mm. Yeah. Self-hating pensioner.
To take from them, you need to become them.
And I like how, like, yeah, he went to go buy it. Like, he got, like, Dorothy gave him money, gave him, like, the cash. Here you go, Stan, just take it. And then he goes off, and then he comes back with the Santa sack full of toys for the kids and starts giving out the toys. And all the girls are like, oh, Stan, yeah, he's come good. But that was Dorothy's money again that paid for all these presents.
He didn't do anything.
And he already ordered those. Like, he'd already put his own money in to get them.
No, because he used the money to buy flowers for his wife.
So basically he went and got
those. Who he cheated on.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Because he bought $60 worth of flowers and she was like, my money back, please.
Mm. I reckon he just went and bought drugs and then stole the flowers and the toys.
Viagra?
Yeah, yeah. Definitely Viagra. Gotta go cheat on his wife some more.
This is probably the most highly sexualized show we've watched, I think,
yeah.
By like a fair distance. Mm. I think like if you had to go like sex in like TV shows throughout the years, it would go Game of Thrones.
We watched Sex and the City.
I would say this outstrips Game of Thrones. I can Sex and the City.
I reckon Blanche has Samantha covered for sure.
Oh yeah,
but no, like it is, it's like a lot of innuendo. This is just like,
yeah. I reckon every third joke is probably a joke about
dicks
yeah. or sex yeah. or Blanche, having sex with something.
Blanche just
with dicks.
Yeah,
with dicks.
Santa's.
Yeah.
Santa sex. Yeah.
Blanche's weird fetish.
Did they make a sack joke? They could have made a sack joke.
Oh, they must have.
You should have written for him, Jez.
I should have.
Yeah. It's never too late.
I would.
If I've learned anything from this show, it's never too late, Jez.
Me and Betty White are going to spearhead the reboot.
Yeah. Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the
road and back again. I would watch that.
Were you three stepping as the other?
Yeah.
You know the show.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know the source material.
Inside
okay.
Out.
Okay, so I assume Aaron's going to go as Dorothy.
Yep.
Scott will be Sophia and I will be Blanche.
Mm. That sounds about right.
Can I get a face up in my contract?
We'll have to face you up a fair bit.
Face you up a fair okay. bit.
Wait, sorry, Scott is...
Scott's your mother.
Yeah, okay. Mm. Checks out.
Yeah, it does.
I am older than Aaron.
Yeah.
This is true, so it's fine.
By 4 months.
Or should I, in that sense, should I be Sophia and Scott be Blanche? We need to work this out because Betty White's going to lose it.
You might need
just control Betty White, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
You might need to put some weight on to play Dorothy.
Yeah, right. I got
those
bulk
shoulders
up.
Aren't big enough.
Yeah, I know.
That's all right. There's things we can get out there to bulk their shoulders up.
Yeah. A shoulder up.
The shoulder pads.
Yeah. They're illegal now, though.
Yeah. I mean,
I thought you were talking about steroids.
Yeah.
That makes so much more
equally
sense.
Is illegal.
Yeah. Either way, both come from Mexico.
Morgan knows a guy.
I know a guy.
Yeah. Those black market shoulder pads.
Yeah. Pure 100% Colombian shoulder pads.
No, I've got a good brand.
Yeah?
Yeah. The best street legal ones that can't be found in Mexico.
Mm.
There was a spin-off to The Golden Girls.
There were multiple spin-offs, actually.
Was there multiple spin-offs?
Yeah.
I only read about the one, which was The Golden Palace, which I have to say...
Sell that to me.
Okay. Well, so Beatrice Arthur left after season seven.
The main Golden Girl.
Yeah.
It could be argued.
Yeah, Dorothy. She left. They were going to end it at season 5, but she signed on for another two more years. She wanted a bit more moolah. But the Golden Palace was, so Dorothy gets married, moves in with a husband, gets remarried, moves in with a new husband. And so the other three, Sophia, Blanche, and Betty White's character, whatever her name
Rose.
Is.
Rose.
They open up a hotel called the Golden Palace.
Oh.
And they get Don Cheadle and Cheech Marin to go work for them.
Do they really?
Actually,
Don Cheadle.
Cheech Marin are in it.
Who's the second one?
Cheech, from Cheech and Chong.
Oh, okay.
So Cheech is like the hotel chef and Don Cheadle clearly looks like the concierge.
Interesting.
Oh, wow.
So basically they replaced Dorothy, Beatrice Arthur with Don Cheadle and Cheech Marin.
Right.
That's incredible. And believe it or not, that just didn't work.
Why didn't we watch that?
Only one season.
Yeah, we should have watched that.
We should have watched that. I would have been all in on
this
that.
This is the regular Baywatch. Yeah. Golden Palace is Baywatch 9.
So
this is clearly the inferior show.
On top of Golden Palace, there was also Empty Nest and Nurses. So Nurses was a spin-off of Empty Nest.
And there was a period of time where Golden Girls, Empty Nest, and Nurses would air back to back to back.
Really?
On one night.
Are they, so are they filming them at the same time?
Like, yeah, they're all running at the same time.
With the same characters or overlapping characters.
All within the same universe.
These Golden Girls must have been on so much coke.
I don't think, Betty White.
Safe assumption?
So many shoulder pads.
Just like the shoulder pads coming in, half a real shoulder pads, half are just coke shoulder pads.
Yeah, doing lines off the shoulder pads.
Betty White played, I know she played Rose, and those ones you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Empty Nest and Nurses. She played Rose in both of those.
Yeah.
I can't speak for the other girls though.
Prolific Golden Girl.
Yeah. Damn. I like how they, like Golden Girls was probably on the way down at this point. So they rebooted it with Empty Nest, which failed. But as that was failing, they got another spin-off out of it. Wow. Just really ride the whole thing into the ground.
Keep spinning it.
Yeah.
So Betty White,
if it keeps spinning, it'll come forever. Spinning
that wheel till it lands on.
Betty White.
Sheer momentum keeping them airing. I did read that during NBC's preview screening of Golden Girls, it received a standing ovation.
Wow.
And they immediately bought a 12-episode season.
The bar was much lower back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd stand up and clap for anything.
See,
they're all just out of their mind on coke. It's the 80s.
I kind of understand it because, like, there's, when you think about it, there's not many shows on television that are like this, even today, that, like, main characters that are women who are over the age of 50.
Yeah.
And this is, like, you got four of them in one place.
And, yeah, and not portraying them as typical grandmothers. Yeah. They've given them a bit of life. Their characters are interesting. Mm. They're not just, you know.
Yeah.
It's not just like the mum from Everybody Loves Raymond.
I think there's a reason why they won like 60 Emmys or something.
I think it's fine. Mm. I just wouldn't personally give it a standing ovation.
You wouldn't have stood?
No.
You would have remained seated?
I do get the sense.
Would have been very enthusiastic, but.
You would have got some very real
enthusiastic sitting?
Yeah. A sitting ovation.
You would have got a hard side eye from a lot of people, I think.
I'm not standing up for
Betty
this.
Betty White's still coming for me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So she's after all of us now.
Yeah. She's never satisfied.
No. You're going to get snickered.
It's the new Wishbone.
Yeah.
I'll be very happy to put Wishbone to rest.
Well, you just brought it back up.
Scott did. I can tell you, I was going to say, Aaron, I don't think this show was targeted at people our age bracket. But I can tell you that Hugh Jackman is apparently a massive fan of this show.
I thought you were going to say she was on it.
That would be even better.
Yeah, I could see what's her name? Blanche sleeping with Hugh Jackman.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see Hugh Jackman. I don't think Hugh Jackman has that great taste in film or television.
Oh, you don't think so?
You think Real Steel was a good movie? Who reads that script and says, yep, let's make it?
I've never heard of it.
It's the one where he like trains robots to fight.
Oh yeah,
I second that. That is a whose idea was that? I don't know.
Was it Hugh Jackman?
I've never heard of it.
Probably.
It's a very bad film.
I'm sure the paycheck helped, but
I would like to think that that's the sort of movie you only go on that if you get paid just a dick load of money.
He does like every second movie. You'd be like, oh, that was all right, but the other ones.
Well, the thing is, though, if you're Hugh Jackman, you don't really need to do movies like that if money's an issue. Just do another X-Men. Do another X-Men. They'll pay him. They have to do it with him, so he can just make as much money as he wants from that.
Or just live on the like $100 million he's already got.
Yeah, that's probably enough.
Don't be ridiculous.
It's not enough.
That's sorry, he's got to feed his family.
He needs Betty White money.
Yeah.
Quite easily coast from here if you're Hugh Jackman.
Just put it in neutral and just enjoy the ride.
Mm. Roll into the sunset.
Let Jesus take the wheel.
So is Hugh Jackman your client as well as Betty White?
Client.
Yeah.
Oh, they said clone.
Client, no, client.
They're both clones of me.
Which one? Which one was a success?
They spliced their DNA, and that's what they've got with you.
Yeah,
you're a Betty White, Hugh Jackman hybrid.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
They're sort of like yin and yang. They balance out and create me, the perfect human.
Speaking of Hugh Jackman in a car, a mutual friend of ours, his mother almost got run over by Hugh Jackman.
Really?
It sounds like Hugh Jackman. Told you. Yeah. Real piece of shit.
Loose.
You would know too.
He was out of his mind on Blue Pepsi from what I've heard.
That's where all his money's going.
It's expensive because it's a finite resource. Yeah. They only made it for a very small window in 2005.
The Hugh Jackman's Quaaludes.
Blue Pepsi, also known as Hugh Jackman's Quaaludes.
That's what the kids call it. Get on Urban Dictionary and
that HJQ.
he gets an eyedropper and just puts it in.
Yeah.
You need to go straight into the bloodstream.
How do you think he got so jacked for like the X-Men films?
Yeah, I think it's a side effect of the blue Pepsi.
It's all shoulder pads. Those aren't real muscles.
I was going to say, how do you know all this? But obviously, being his clone.
Yeah, exactly.
You think the way he thinks.
Shared memories. Like, yeah, it's part of
genetic
his
memory.
Genetic memory. Yeah, exactly. Right. I'm sure this is addressed in one of those various clone movies.
I have absolutely no doubt. No doubt. This has never been brought up before.
Oh, so what happened after he ran that woman over?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
And you went to prison for life.
You saw him fleeing from the scene.
Yeah, it's a celebrity. You know, he
looked the other way.
He gets away with stuff. No, it was just like, he was walking across the street and he was like, wah, and then she was like, ah, and then I heard the story. That was about it.
And then as he opens the door, just Golden Girls DVDs and empty blue Pepsi bottles.
Like, trying to shovel them back in the car.
Yeah,
spill out onto the street.
Don't look at me!
My secret shame.
Yeah, that sums it up. That sums it up.
It's a good fan theory that he's just getting blasted on blue Pepsi watching reruns of the Golden Girls.
In his car DVD player whilst trying to hit Scott's friend's mum.
Cannot see the road at all.
And this is why he was in movies like Real Steel.
Yeah, well, he's got to pay for it.
Anyway, should we move on to reboots?
Yes, indeed.
I'd love to.
Excellent.
I would like to start the reboots by attempting a guess at what your reboot will be, Morgan.
They're all dogs.
It's called The Golden Boys. It's about four golden retrievers.
That's what I thought of
running
when I
amok,
was
living out of an apartment in Miami.
I did not think of that, but I'm all in. Okay. I'm all in. I'm watching the shit out of that. Do they talk? Or?
Yeah, of course they talk.
Like Wishbone talks or?
No, they can talk to each other. Yeah.
Okay.
Have you got voice actors for the Golden Retrievers?
All of your favorites.
This is your reboot.
Let's do a Morgan reboot. Who would he cast? Yeah, Travolta.
Okay, you got Travolta because he's done the voice acting work.
Yeah, yeah.
You got Cage.
Yeah, Cage would be in there.
Yep.
Maybe.
No, he likes Andy Samberg.
And Will Forte.
And Will Forte.
Yeah,
that's the four.
That's the dream team right there. Will Forte, Andy Samberg, Nicolas Cage, and John Travolta playing four Golden Retrievers called the Golden Boys.
And they're all in there. The older years.
Sounds like Wild Hogs or something.
13.
Yeah, Wild Hogs.
Wild Dogs.
That's his elevator pitch.
Wild Dogs, yeah. Cool.
All right, Golden Boys. All right, so that's Golden Morgan Boys. Done. Scott, you're next.
The Golden Boys, Wild Dogs.
That's actually really good. I really like that. But that's not what I've done.
Okay.
But would you like me to start?
Kick please. Off. I'd like to hear what you have
done. Let's go what I actually did. Even though I actually like that a lot more. I think that's going to win. So my one is actually a crossover. I am crossing into, this is actually a crossover with Seinfeld. I was inspired by the Lloyd Braun. And it's sort of set in the future, a few years. It's set in the future, so let's say roughly now. So I don't know how old George would be, in his 50s, 60s.
And everyone from the Golden Girls is dead.
Well, no, Betty White's still, yeah. So it's, let's say set in 2000.
Betty White's reign of terror is still very much alive.
It's very much alive. So it's set in 2005. Let's just say that. So
until you cut the Snickers supply out.
George is now a very successful and cutthroat architect after his time in prison.
Vandal Industries is flying.
Yeah.
After he got out of prison.
Yeah, they went to prison in the last episode.
Oh, that's right.
Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah.
What a garbage finish.
Try to block that one out.
Yeah, so did I. George is now, like, he's running this really successful business. It's because he's become, like, totally cutthroat. Like, he's just an absolute, like, he's terrible. Like, he's worse than he normally is now. He's like regular George, but successful. And so he's like a real cheapskate, just doing all the wrong things. Classic George Costanza stuff. And Betty White now works for him. She's had to go back to work. The other Golden Girls have passed away.
Right,
and
she's like 92.
Yeah, she's working. She's his assistant. And he's just...
Snickers money right now.
Yeah. So he's just like... So, nah, but it's Betty White as Rose.
No.
Yeah, it is. I'm sorry. You can't just say it. So she's working for him. And he won't give her Christmas Day off. And it's, you know, she wants to spend time with... Rose wants to spend time with the family. He won't give it to her. So that night, George just, being Scrooge, goes home and he's visited by a vision of his late wife, Susan, who died much earlier in Seinfeld from licking the stamps. And she says that unless you change your ways, you will be visited. You've got an opportunity to change your ways. Otherwise, you'll be miserable in death. So he's visited by the Christmas ghost. So Christmas ghost.
I've seen this.
Ghost past. You have. It's an adaptation.
Ghost of Girlfriend Past with Matthew McConaughey.
It's an adaptation of that. So he's visited by Dorothy, Sophia, and Blanche at three different stages, and then he wakes up a changed man. So it's the whole Christmas Carol setup. I basically just lifted this from that, and then he's changed his way. So he starts doing the opposite and and he's nice again, and everyone loves him, and yeah, he joins Betty White and her family for Christmas. It's a
beautiful,
it's a real heartwarming
family movie.
Yeah, and it is. I did steal it pretty much straight off that Matthew McConaughey movie, yeah. But Seinfeld and Golden Girls style. It's called the Golden Girls of Christmas Past.
Nice. Mm.
So yeah, Golden Girls Seinfeld crossover with George Costanza. That's very my good. Reboot. And just, yeah, the casting is Seinfeld and the Golden Girls, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta go with that.
Mm. Yeah. Jez, what do you got?
So I've gone with a theme of reboot that is TIS staple in that it's gritty reimagining.
Someone having sex with a car.
And it's a gritty reimagining. So I'm going off the first episode. I'm doing like a split in the timeline.
Yep.
And when the guy comes in with a gun in the office, rather than just, you know, like a hilarious comedic resolution, he kidnaps all four of the Golden Girls and he takes them back to his like dingy basement,
yep,
where he's got like a living room set up. And what he does is he, like, at gunpoint, he gives them all scripts, right? And they've all got to play roles in his twisted family Christmas that he went through as a child.
Oh, God.
And there's only one rule that he gives them, and if they break character, they die.
Ooh.
So anyway, it's just him pretending to be like his 10-year-old self, and they're nervously reading their lines and trying not to get it wrong. Anyway, so it turns out that, you know, I don't know, at the end, Betty White, I guess, is the last one standing, kills him. Cause, you know,
so does he have the same rule? If he breaks character, does he die?
Oh, he's got the gun. He's a crazy guy.
Yeah.
So no.
His character but is
he does
a crazy
it turns
guy.
Out like
no, he's playing his 10-year-old self.
They find out.
Oh, is he? He's probably crazy then. Maybe. Mm-hmm.
He's done it. So they find out through the course of the movie that he's done this like every year.
Tradition.
Yeah, every year for the last 20 years or something, because all of his family died in a horrible accident on Christmas Day.
Yep.
Anyway, it's called the Golden Rule.
Ah.
Ooh,
being, nice.
There you go. Nice. Gritty reimagining.
Same cast.
Yeah. Even the psycho dude?
Yeah, maybe you could get someone. Maybe you get Cage to play him.
Yeah, actually, that's good casting.
What about Stephen Tobolowsky? Tobolowsky?
I don't like it when you make up actors.
Yeah. Just to make Jez feel stupid. Yeah.
No, he's...
I think Cage is better.
I'm trying to think
he's also
one
in Silicon Valley. He's, he's
I'm trying to think of one single thing.
Oh, yeah, he was Ned in Groundhog Day.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
But he plays
this
serial killer in The Practice, and he's real creepy, sufficiently creepy. So
could do it again.
Mm. I don't mind him. Yeah. He might, unfortunately, get told that, you know, your services aren't needed, but you were this close, buddy. So keep trying.
So close.
But we're going
in there, Steve.
We went with Cage in the end.
Yeah. Well, Cage, you want
and then Cage will bomb in it and it'll ruin his career. And yeah. Tobolowsky would have been like, I told you so, because it's perfect script.
Cage can't bomb and it can't ruin his career. There's nothing he can do. He's
untouchable.
He is untouchable.
You're right. Ghost Rider.
I was about to say impenetrable.
That's weird.
Glad you jumped in ahead of me.
You've tried more. His career is impenetrable. All right, I'm going to jump in. So the year is 2007. The Golden Girls.
That was the year of my one.
Oh.
Was it?
We've done 2007. Yeah.
You said like 2 years ago.
No, I corrected it. Okay, that's fine.
Well, okay.
We can have two universes in 2007, I suppose.
Very important that it's in 2007.
All right, fine.
I cannot stress that.
I can move mine to 2008. It's fine.
Okay, thank you. It's 2007. The Golden Girls are still alive. They're living in Miami and they're sort of getting up to their usual antics. Complaining about their ex-husbands, getting into awkward encounters with their past acquaintances, etc. And Stanley comes around asking for money with his new, like, harebrained scheme. And usually, as they usually do, they just rebuff him. Like, no.
You piece of shit.
Like our money where it is. Get out of here. So he leaves. And the girls are planning their yearly vacation when the news comes in that the global financial crisis is upon them. And all their money... their collective savings, because they share everything, so they share their savings account, was in the Lehman Brothers investments, and essentially all of their money's gone. So they got to find a way to survive, because, you know, for elderly women in Miami, got to get by. So they turn to Stanley, and they're like, look, we've got very little money. All we've got is the cash. They pawn everything that they own. And Stanley's idea is to get into precious metals. So, essentially, they school themselves up and buy into the silver market.
Okay.
And trade it against...
I see what you did there.
Trade it against the gold market. So they rent a small office. They move down Wall Street, all buy pantsuits, and yeah, start trading on the market. It's called the Golden Silver Girls, and that's about it. Just four hard hitting women trading precious metals.
Do their pantsuits have shoulder pads?
Absolutely, yeah, everywhere. Good. They're good. Shoulder pads, knee pads, elbow pads.
100% shoulder pads.
Finger pads.
I'd be interested to know what in this timeline how old Sophia is, because like if she's Dorothy's mother in the 90s. And Dorothy, you'd have to guess, it'd be late 60s, early 70s. Mm-hmm. So what's she, like 115, 120?
It's like Mr. Burns and his mum.
Yeah. she's got a wealth of experience behind her.
Exactly.
Well, I guess she had a facelift, so then that's probably...
No one expects the 115-year-old woman.
Yeah.
This is true.
If anyone's going to be able to bring us out of the GFC, it's four women who lived through the Great Depression.
Oh, good point.
That's the tagline.
I've been there.
If you remember the Christmas of 1932, most of these women do... You've got someone to bring to the table.
Buckle up.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it. Aaron.
All right. So my scenario is the four golden girls are sitting around chatting when Dorothy goes to get some mail. She comes back with a peculiar gold envelope and they all open it together and it reads, Blanche, Dorothy, Rose and Sophia, you are the only four remaining members of the Tontine, but there can be only one golden girl. The memory slowly comes back to them. And they, along with five others, made a blood pact over their dead sons from the Vietnam War. And the last surviving member becomes the Golden Girl and gets to add the lost years of all their sons' lives onto their own.
Ooh.
Whoa.
What? So that's the setup for the new tabletop RPG, The Golden Girl, where the aim is to become the Golden Girl by taking out the other three. So everyone gets allocated a character, one of the four golden girls, and they all have their own stats. Basically, the turns go around in a circle, and you can take one of four actions, attack, defend, plot, or call the cops. Every attack has a certain risk attached. So if Blanche beats Rose over the head with a candlestick, she's pretty much certain to go to prison. But if she like sneakily swaps out Rose's blood-thinning medication for Viagra, or like greases up the floor of her bathroom so she has a fall, she'll probably get away with it. But if Rose calls the cops without any reason, the cops aren't going to believe her. So she will probably get taken away and put in a home.
Crying wolf.
Yeah. So it's about stealthily murdering the others without getting caught.
This sounds really cool.
Yeah. Mm. Well, it is available on theincompleteseries.com for Christmas.
Oh, perfect. Just in time.
Just in time. But I think above all, character voices are mandatory when you're playing this game.
Yeah. Oh, it goes without saying.
So you got like a southern voice for Blanche.
Yeah.
Well, I do believe I'm getting the vapors.
Yeah, so it's called The Golden Girl.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Man.
Yeah.
That's real good.
Cool, I'm gonna buy that.
Yeah.
I really want to make the like game artwork for that.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be great. Some just like Betty White holding a knife.
We should be careful though, because if Betty White finds out that we've cracked the Tontine and she knows she can be after our souls.
That's why she's so rich.
I know.
The only
and
one left.
Is still alive.
Yeah.
Because she's got those years.
She's got the life. Yeah.
Oh man. What's a Tontine? Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's an agreement where there's like some treasure or money or whatever. And the last surviving member of the agreement gets everything.
Why would anyone ever agree to that?
You're just asking to be murdered.
Just split it in four.
This happened in The Simpsons, didn't it?
Yeah. It did. Yeah.
Hellfish Bonanza.
Yeah, Nazi artwork.
Mm. Yeah, that's
rich. Rich like Nazis.
It's too murder inducing.
So you need a third party to judge?
You do.
So you're a
supervisor.
So it's called a contract. And...
You could become a Tontine lawyer.
I could become a Tontine lawyer.
I can't believe you're not a fan. It sounds so good.
One person will just hit, you know, financial trouble and then just kill the others. Clearly, that's where
you come in.
This is why you do the Tontine with like people that aren't your friends. Like
were
us.
Were these actually a thing around? Was it usually spoils of war that they were brought home illegally?
Yeah, I think so.
And there was no way to sort of divvy it up?
Yeah, yeah.
We're basing that on The Simpsons. Pretty much.
Yeah. Like the rest of our historic knowledge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get out of here and let's let's get to the list.
All right, the IMDb list of the week. This one is from user Scraps992. And the list is celebrities that nobody hates. It's a short list of celebrities that everybody loves and no person in their right mind would ever condemn any of these people for their talent, their charisma, or simply of just how awesome they are.
Is it number one Betty White?
One B White?
B. White is on the list. So,
any of the others?
I think the other Golden Girls.
Yeah.
No.
No. Lloyd Braun.
Lloyd Braun. Surely
they're all Lloyd Braun. Yeah. So I think there's some like pretty standard ones like Steve Buscemi, Tom Hanks, Bryan Cranston,
mm-hmm.
like
mm-hmm.
they universally loved.
Yeah.
Then I think it's there's a few questionable some ones,
contentious ones.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp.
That's, he should come off.
That's
there.
Not true.
Definitely come off.
Drew Carey.
Closer. Yeah. Johnny Depp.
Yeah. I can see why you would think that. Why somebody would think that.
Michael Rooker.
No idea
who played Merle on The Walking Dead.
Yeah, no, I completely disagree with that.
What?
Ah, he's really hated.
Even yeah. if you just hate him because of the character.
I think he's. Yeah. I think he's an exceptional actor. But yeah,
and Johnny Depp's like a bit of a national pariah in Australia.
Yeah, he's yeah.
trying to sneak
sneak his dogs in.
Not, yeah. Not, let's not even get started on the whole ex-wife thing as well.
Yeah.
What happened there?
All right, and now this last one, without a doubt, the most questionable. And bear in mind, this list was updated 1 month ago. Louis C.K.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah, universally loved.
Is that pre Wankgate or post Wankgate?
Wankgate was well over a month ago.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's got to be changed as well.
Yeah.
No, you sure? I reckon it was it was maybe like six yeah. weeks ago. You're right.
He's another one that's come off there.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. Even before that, probably not universally loved.
No, I can think of people that would be higher on the list.
He and Betty White are not in the same sort of school of person
as Tom Hanks.
Even before the whole controversy, Betty White is a completely because it's someone that literally cannot be like how could you really, apart from the fact that we now know Betty White's secrets that she's trying to kill us all. She's just not a. How could you hate sweet old Betty White? Yeah, it's good. That's an interesting list. Yeah, there's a few changes need to be made post haste. CK and Depp need
Spacey
to come off.
On there.
Spacey is not on there. Maybe that's one of the recent changes.
Weinstein?
It's yeah. Weinstein.
He's on there.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that kind of leaves us there with the list. Another an absolute banger as. But probably time to wrap up. And Jez, what were your final thoughts on the Golden Girls?
I've noticed a pattern of my final thoughts.
I've noticed this too.
And they're very concise.
Yeah. Mm. So do you want to break that mold tonight? Or
I started then by, giving my...
Acknowledging.
My synopsis, a preamble, but it's a bunch of old women cracking sexual jokes and who are subtly racist.
Yeah, it's an accurate description of what we watched.
Probably wouldn't seek it out. How well could it have aged? Better than most of the women.
I would, fair. I guess that is a true statement.
Yeah, I don't know. I gotta stop making jokes. I shouldn't speak ill of the dead. You've done it multiple times.
Yeah, you had some bad karma coming your way. So, better get away from you, Aaron. Your final thoughts on the Golden Girls?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. It was a lot better than I thought it'd be. Got some half chuckles.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there.
Yeah. And of the comedies we've done, I reckon it's better than most of them. Better than Home Improvement. Better than
Happy Days.
Better than Will and Grace.
I just. I just don't understand your distaste for.
Have you watched any of the new Will and Grace?
Can we move on from Will and Grace?
No, I do not have the time.
The first 2 minutes of the first new episode.
No,
and they basically just hit every reference that they missed over the years they were off. They're playing one of those charades games, and they're just saying things like Kardashian, Trump, and the canned laughter's going nuts.
Okay,
they're not making jokes; they're just saying things.
I will not watch it because I do not want to get. I do not want.
But you're the biggest fan.
I don't want you to be right, so then I can't watch it. I'd rather live in this world where I'm still kind of half right. I just don't. It's not that I'm a fan. I just don't hate it like you hate it. I mean, who can talk shit about Eric McCormick?
I can. I will.
Was he on the list? Morgan, was he on the list? Even Louis exactly. C.K. made the list.
Louis C.K. is a better dude than Eric McCormick.
Tells you everything you need to know.
Didn't see Deborah Messing on there.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, Scott, what were your final thoughts on the Golden Girls? I was about to say Happy Days.
Yeah.
Love the fonts.
I didn't mind the Golden Girls. I reckon it's one of those shows that you could find like a YouTube compilation of like the most emotional moments. 100%. They probably would hit some pretty emotional stuff as they went through, old friends dying and stuff. I feel like I am to old people as you, Morgan, are to dogs.
Show up in a lot of old people's reboots.
Yeah. No, I have it. It gets me. I got a bit of sympathy.
You have an affinity.
Well, apparently
for the elderly.
they touched on some, you know, hot topics and dealt with them in a tasteful way from what I've read.
Yeah, I read that as well.
Like what?
I think like someone comes out, one of their like family members comes out and they deal with it quite well. They deal with AIDS, which is, you know, late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, huge, very hot topic, yeah.
Deal with, I think, suicide and things like that. So,
and they did
pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah, and they do hit on, I know I was reading one thing about, like, it was mentioned in the show, they talked about, like, you know, helping each other into their later years and not, like, abandoning each other towards, you know, as they, that slow crawl to death.
Oh, yeah. Jesus!
That was the dark, wasn't it?
I wonder if they got into mental health much.
I don't know.
Mm. Yeah.
Like loneliness in the elderly. Yeah, a lonely friend who assisted wasn't suicide. A part of the group.
I'm speaking on behalf of Morgan here, but like, what's the point? They're going to die soon. So
exactly.
Why even bother about their mental health? Just end it now.
Okay. There's a portrait of words by me. Okay?
I think they touch on euthanasia as well. Mm. Assisted dying.
Yeah,
assisted by Betty White.
And sneakers pass.
She won the
It's not called a murder, it's called an assist. Yeah. It's done by Betty White.
She's like Steve Nash.
The Steve Nash of assisted dying.
Just dishing out dimes left, right, and center. I tend to agree with Scott, you and Aaron. It's actually not a bad show. Like, I can
so
see
it's better than Will and Grace.
Yeah, it is. I can see why people would really like this, and it's also a show. I mean, I think you touched on earlier, Scott, in saying how many shows out there have the focus of four women over 50 that has
true
and
got Sex and
the City.
Not even Zinc.
Fired one across the port bow.
Ruffles and feathers.
I got some half chuckles, some half laughs. With a lot of things. A lot more sexualized than what I anticipated.
Yeah.
Like
but not unhappy about that.
Maybe Scott actually just downloaded the one of the porn versions.
Maybe you mind what Scott does behind closed doors, right?
It's his business.
Okay, well, we should probably wrap things up here now. So, Jez, social media, where can people find us?
They can find us at theincompleteseries.com or the Incomplete Series on Facebook, Podcast TS on Instagram.
Twitter.
Shit.
At the Incomplete Series on Instagram. And info on our website, Scott.
Yes, we've got a website.
There is info on it.
Can you tell us more?
Suggestion box.
Jez already mentioned the website.
I went too far. You said social media, and I went straight to website.
Should we start this again?
The whole thing.
Take 78.
Take 78.
Take 78. Let's do it.
This makes no sense.
Hello and welcome. To the Incomplete Series.
G'day, g'day, and hello.
You can head to theincompleteseries.com and listen to any episodes, check out any of our extra content, or you can suggest a show for us to watch.
We do love a good suggestion.
That'd be
good.
We keep them coming.
All right, now we'll probably just leave things there. So Merry Christmas to you, Jez.
Merry Yulmas.
Thanks, Jez. And Merry Christmas to you, Aaron.
Happy days, Morgan.
And Merry Christmas to you, Scott.
Thank you.
And Merry Christmas to everyone. Thanks very much.
So, Merry Yulmas.
And Merry Christmas.
To you. Listeners.
We're playing a game here?
No, finish the sentences?
Or what's going on?
No, we're just wishing listeners a Merry Christmas.
Together.
We're just riffing.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Yulmas.